really, you know, do what he's able to resolve the case. He was just talking what I thought was the wrong language. So when
he was also talking to me like I was a child. That's what that when he first came off talking to me, he came off as though I was a child, and my only point was I'm a grown man. The same way he is.
And I'll tell you why that I, you know, the purpose of this call is not in any way to talk about friction with you and Brent Tabachi.
Right, honestly.
That's another reason why meetings like that shouldn't happen.
Right.
It's, you know, but to my thinking, it's like going to a doctor who has shitty bedside manner.
I've seen it in
lawyers, right? I mean, I've sat in, you know, meetings or, you know, in lockup somewhere where I see some lawyer who's just, you know, either talking down to his client or yelling at him or, what are you fucking stupid?
Right.
You know, okay. I mean, they're talking about a big thing and there's emotion and there's penalty and there's reality, but there's still a better way to go about it. So I'm not going to dissect who said what to who and how. As I said, I'm trying to remain at the rational problem solver level.
Understood.
And that's sort of what I then pitched to Brent. And I said, in some ways, I'll paraphrase, Brent, I think you're missing this, right? If you want to talk with Brian, if you want to deal with Brian, and especially if you want to try to reach some kind of accord with Brian, you have to understand what Brian wants. And he told you loud and clear, and you didn't hear him. He said, I want to talk about the children. And he said, well, you know, okay, what does that mean? And, you know, and then he, and again, I mean, he's a federal prosecutor, right? I mean, he does his thing, his way. He told you, I've been doing this for 18 years. I chuckled because I catch all of myself all the time. But I've been doing this for 25 years. Like it's some sort of, you know, stamp that means I should know what I'm doing. You know, but, you know, he's got the government way. There's literally playbooks and protocols and procedures, and this is how we do things, right? Like arguing with an IRS agent.
Right.
So I tried to take him out of that, and I said, look, you've got to try to see where Brian is coming from. And to his credit, he listened. And he said, okay, well, what are you talking about? And I said, look, I don't know if this case can be resolved. And quite honestly, I'll go off on a segue. I don't 100% know if you want to resolve it. And there is a small part of me, for whatever reason, that, you know, views that, you know, you may be using this trial as some aspect of, for lack of a better word, martyrdom, right? I mean, there are people who want to sit in the middle of the town square, pour gasoline over themselves, and light themselves on fire,
correct,
you know, just to make a point.
Right.
And if that's what's going on, that will be a shame. You know, I won't enjoy sitting there watching it happen. My and Tamar's role as your attorneys would be that, you know, we'll be out there scrapping and fighting and doing the best we can. You know, but I think we've expressed to you that, you know, we don't think the odds are on your side. I mean, we can talk all day about what we think the odds are. But at some point, if that's what you want, that's what you want. And we should all save our breaths and let's get ready for trial and let's go to war.
Right.
On the other hand, if you do want to talk about the children, the trial, in all honesty, is not going to be a great place to do that.
Agreed.
You know, the judge just isn't going to allow that. Now, I understand that you've said, and rightfully so, hey, I've got a platform of some type, right? I mean, you know, maybe the news media is listening to you. You've got this guy from, you know, fringe internet podcasting who's, you know, talking about it. And some of that is because you're in the middle of federal prosecution and you can talk about federal prosecutors and you can talk about things that are being done and said. But coming full circle, and I promise you I'm getting close to winding up. If your goal is to talk about the children and your goal is to talk about it to federal law enforcement and specifically FBI Chicago, as to your credit, I'm not, you know, coming up with any genius solutions. You've told everybody from the beginning, right? I mean, it all started on Clio Road when you showed up and thought that's what was going to happen. So that's what I posited to Brent. I said, Brent, you know, you got to realize where he's coming from. And he said, what do you want? And I said, We want to talk about the kids. We want a meeting with FBI Chicago. We want to present all of the documentation that Brent has. We want it scanned. We
that
want
Brian
a base
has.
Number. That Brian has. I apologize. Sorry.
That's okay.
I've done that
it's
twice
okay.
now.
Don't okay, okay.
Name of, you know, we want it scanned. We want it accepted. And we want, you know, a reasonable opportunity for Brent to sit down, if COVID permits it, or at least, you know, via high-quality video conference, if federal mandates require, to sit and go through it. We want him to be able to show his evidence, talk through various documentations and issues of proof, right, to try to show them what this is and why they should pay attention to it and why they should care. Because, you know, and I don't claim to know in great detail what's in those 3,000 pages of documentation. But, you know, to my knowledge of you, you are, if nothing else, a highly intelligent and thoughtful man. So when you say, I've got real proof of what's going on, okay, you know, I mean, the reasonable side of me says, shit, the guy probably does. The trick is always to get the attention of the right people, right? I mean, if you were some, you know, brilliant screenwriter in Hollywood and you had written, you know, the greatest movie that was ever made, you know, but you needed to get it made, right? You can't do it on your own. You have all of this inside of you, you know, but you need funding and you need backers. You need to get in the room with the people who can greenlight your project. And whether they do or not, I have no idea, right? But what I'm trying to do and what I was pitching to Brent yesterday is getting you the meeting, getting you in the room, letting you produce the information so at least they can look at it, understand it. And we certainly hope at some point go, holy shit, you know, this guy may have something. Because my, you know, and again, I don't claim to know Chicago more than what I read in the papers and maybe sometimes, you know, see in the news. But the concept that Chicago is rife with corruption, I don't think is a shock to anybody. And my hunch is that a lot of the things that you're going to say at a meeting like that would probably connect to things that they know. They would go, well, shit, we know that person. And yeah, we know that guy's dirty. And yeah, we've heard, you know, rumors of what he's talking about. But at the end of the day, that's what I pitched to Brent Tabachi. I said, if you ever want to really even meaningfully begin conversations about this case, it needs to start with your commitment to getting Brian Higgins in a room, electronically or otherwise, with FBI Chicago and giving him an opportunity to talk about the kids. And they kind of thought about it for a little while, talks amongst themselves. And he came back and he said, I will do that. I will make that happen.
Okay.
I do think there are some other things that we can continue to discuss in sort of the smaller details. You know, for example, and again, not that this has been your driving force, but, you know, he alluded to the notion of, I will put in his plea agreement that, you know, the United States government is not seeking jail time in this case, because in part that he has provided substantial assistance in the prosecution of others. And, you know, we didn't get into those weeds, but we can talk about whether or not we want to name, you know, some of the folks in Chicago that you're focused on, you know, things of that nature. But again, I mean, I think we have his legitimate commitment to that.
Okay.
The question then becomes, and I promised you I was getting close to winding down. You know, the question becomes, where do you sit? Because I think the only thing I've done in the last 24 hours in my role is to try to see what are your interests. Take an opportunity and the, you know, apparently strong desire of Brent Tabachi and at least successfully put together the rough outlines of a deal where You know, the government has agreed to provide you with, you know, the full and fair opportunity that you have looked for, to speak to federal law enforcement, to make your case, to lay out your evidence, and to speak about the children. The counter to that, of course, is Brent would expect you to enter into a plea agreement of this case. We can talk about the what's in the hows. That's largely the purpose of this call, right?
Is for you to say
either, yeah, that's something that interests me. God damn, it took us a while to get here. But, you know, we're finally where I wanted to be, you know?
Right.
Again, all we did was pick up on your words. I want to talk about the children.
Right.
You know, realistically, outside of this opportunity, I don't know how much real traction you're going to get. I mean, anybody can create a web page. Okay, anybody can put, you know, banker's boxes of stuff on WikiLeaks or whatever like that. But if your goal is to attempt to put this guy on the radar of federal law enforcement, FBI.
Well, he's already, just so we know. Yeah, just so we know, he's already on the radar. The feds are protected. Yeah.
Okay, well, but, you know, it's easy to say the feds are protecting him. You know, there's always a bigger fish, if you catch the meaning, right? I mean, if somebody is protecting him, you know, there's somebody else who's going to be interested in who's protecting him.
And that's the interest that I've gotten from Brandon, the investigative journalist. There's somebody that wants to talk about that. That's my whole point. There are people that want to hear, not because it's coming from me, only because of the documented players that are involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know all the specifics. I don't know all the players. You know, certainly, you know, in the waters that I have swum in, you know, I know damn well there have been, you know, for example, people in the criminal world who, you know, I keep looking at and going, how is that guy not getting hit? Everybody around him, you know, and I'll talk to some agent and I'll finally kind of realize, okay, because he's a DEA informant and, you know, they've told local law enforcement hands off because he's out, you know, doing stuff for us. But, you know, in my experience, that's typically awfully narrow. And I will tell you, you know, and I, you know, like I said, the purpose of this call is not to go down, you know, the rabbit hole of Chicago. We will, if we, you know, at least believe that some accord is possible, or at least we're talking about the right things. You know, but the molestation of children is a dividing line that isn't crossed. Okay. If he's out there touching kids, there's going to be somebody who wants to do something about it. And if nothing else, you know, getting in these folks' ears, creating a record, being able to, you know, ask, you know, they can't talk broadly about investigations, but being able to ask some limited questions, you know, trying to provide you with the best opportunity to accomplish your goal. And it seems
understood
that this is where we're at. So the ball's in your court.
Okay.
I will tell you that Brent is eager to figure out if this is something worth talking about,
right,
or it's not. I don't know that he's super optimistic, quite honestly. I do feel like he kind of thinks he's a little bit out over his skis. And, you know, quite honestly, this is new for me. I mean, I've never been down this path. I could start banging my 25-year drum. I mean, this is new for me, that a prosecutor is willing to kind of use this kind of juice, make these kind of calls. I mean, he's going to have to call, you know, presumably the special agent in charge. I mean, somebody pretty high ranking in Chicago, and what? Say, you know, this is what I need to do.
Well, you know that there was we already had a Chicago agent in Dayton before. That was Tyler Freeman. He was from Chicago. So Chicago has been in meetings and in the room. But then on his conversation yesterday, he says, well, he trips over himself so many times. And I noted all of the different misrepresentations he made. At first, I didn't have representation. That's why I couldn't have the meeting. Then he goes on to say, I reached out to Chicago and they have no interest in talking to you. Well, they've already talked to me. We were already in the room. We had one agent. He wanted to, you know, represent as if he reached out to Chicago for the first time and they had zero interest. He doesn't know that I know Tyler Freeman was out of the Chicago office. He's thinking, I'm thinking he's out of the Dayton office. But yeah, I follow you and I appreciate, you know, your efforts in trying to get this resolved.
And keep in mind, let me just push back lightly on that. I'm not just trying to get this case resolved. I am in part because, and I'll be blunt about this, I don't think trial is in your best interest.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to go well for you. You know, could tomorrow and I pull a rabbit out of a hat? Of course we could. Do we have stuff to talk about? Of course we do. Do we have a theory?
And this is, just so you know, this is the first time that I've ever heard this, that there are concerns with my case. Like, no, I've yet to hear either one of you say what the concerns are. Or where my case, where my case has holes.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm trying to think about how to sort of approach that without opening a.
I mean, we don't have to do it now.
Okay, Brian. Right. Let me say this: there are things that we can pull at. There's some weak seams, like how they went about for payments and the arrangement with the mortgage company and so forth, but the money that did come in and how it was spent, the bank records concern Paul and me.
Well, then if my bank records concern you and Paul, Mike Marshall's bank records mirror mine.
If I committed a crime, his crime mirrors mine.
I agree with that. And I've represented several contractors, builders, people in the trades, in various, you know, insurance or wire or bank or mortgage frauds. You know, again, I mean, I've been through two recessions, and the things about recessions is they always catch the people who were fast and loose during the boom, right?
Sure.
And there have been two big real estate booms, and the minute the banks get fast and loose and everybody stops watching, somebody's going to shuck and jive and take advantage of it. It's just human nature.
Sure.
And believe me, I've had multiple clients say, dude, I'm not doing anything different than anybody else. And
right.
That was specific in the mortgage fraud industry, where, I mean, I would have people say, I'll name 10 guys who are doing the exact same thing as me,
right,
who are, you know, all over this case. Why do I get prosecuted? And the answer sometimes is as simple as, is it just your turn? You know, I mean, it's like, why? You know, I'm driving up I-75. I'm going 75, 80 miles an hour with the flow of traffic, and some cop radars me,
yeah,
right? Okay. Pulls me over. What the fuck you giving me a ticket for?
Right.
And the answer is because you were exceeding the speed limit. And it's not a valid defense to say, but everybody else was too.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, right? by any means, I find there to be a lot of a lot of discussions to be introduced in my case, namely Tony Cicero. Tony Cicero is a witness. If I have committed a crime, I did so with his knowledge. So therefore, I'm more motivated to go to trial. Like this whole time and facing, so like, I'm not really concerned about that. I mean, maybe I should be.
Maybe I should be. And that kind of comes full circle to, you know, part of me kind of thinking, and I'm not judging, I'm just telling you what I see and observe, but part of me thinking that this is where you want to go. And again, let me reiterate, if I haven't made clear already, if that's what you want, if you want a trial and you want the show, and most importantly, to your credit, if you're willing to back it up, I've had lots of clients who want to be heard. I want my day in court. But when push comes to shove and I tell them, hey, you're going to do 5 to 8 on the backside, all of a sudden their backbone wiggles. Okay?
Well, just so you know, I'm not the average. And I'm on a mission that's been ordained.
I was drawing a breath to say, to your credit, you don't balk. We tell you 5 to 8 and you go, man, okay, bring it on. Which is why, and maybe we'll kind of wind down where we began. If what you want is, I'm trying to think of a better word than martyrdom, but you just use the word ordained, okay? If you are on a mission that is given to you or driven by higher motivations than something as pedantic and earthly as legal advice, then Tamara and I just need to, you know, get ready for trial and here we go.
But I thought that's what we've been doing all along. I never thought we weren't.
That goes without saying, but as just a basic proposition of being an attorney like Paul, I want to go as far as I can to see if I can work the case out. If not, I can look myself in the mirror.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I appreciate that, Ms. Sack, but you have to also understand every offer that's ever been presented is the same offer that was presented day one. As a matter of fact, this last offer was a little bit, they went backwards on the last offer that
misprison of a felon.
Yeah, like, come on, man. The deals you offered me day one, before I even was seen by Magistrate Newman, was better than this deal.
Understood.
He wants to clear his books because he has a 98% success rate. And he wants to get this off his books. And if there's any way that this case goes sideways, because it will go sideways, and it's not because I want it to go sideways. You made a statement, Paul, that, you know, basically me wanting to create a shit show, if you will. I call it a shit show. I am of the belief there are many things that need to be talked about. The children are namely, you know, are the big ones. It's more than just the children that I have given the FBI in terms of information. I've given them information on a multi-billion-dollar ghosting scheme up at O'Hare Airport. I've given them information on identity theft using the deceased information. Like, the children is the one that's close and dear to me, because anyone that touches on children or touches on old people and preys on the weakness and is still actively doing it, I take issue. So, yes, the children is kind of the umbrella, but there are many things that bifurcate off of this umbrella. There are many things that fall, you know, they got me in public corruption. I've been a whistleblower for 10 years trying to expose public corruption. So it's kind of interesting that I am charged with what I've been trying to expose. And if $25,000, I mean, I've got people in Chicago and they're doing billions. And the players are very high-powered Chicago insiders that get pinched if this information gets out. I understand why I'm here. I don't question why am I in this situation. I'm only saying half the shit that comes out of their mouth is a damn lie. And yesterday being case in point. But I have a weak case. Well, you know, a wise man once told me, you know, when they don't want to argue the other person's side, well, you know, we already know his side. His side is I'm guilty. I don't know that, but if I am and a jury finds me guilty, then I will do whatever time the court sees fit. But we need to have another conversation. And so that was my purpose. I didn't go into that meeting trying to be, you know, combative or not to listen to the guy. But when he starts talking about Mike Marshall did $25,000 worth of drywall work in my house, Mike Marshall didn't do, I fired him from doing the drywall work. What they're doing is they're trying to spend the money to show them that the money went toward the house instead of Joey's patio. But then in my discovery, and I'm not sure how much everyone's listened to my discovery, because they even talk about monies being owed but having to wait for a check, and do I need cash? And if I need cash, and I'm like, I don't need cash. I need my house done. There are multiple times in my discovery where I'm saying we weren't doing anything fraudulent. So now all of a sudden I got a weak case and it's not looking good. And like, I don't know. I know we'll table that conversation for another meeting or something. But like, it's like, okay, so now my case is subpar and it looks like there's a chance that, well, which there's a chance in every case, I understand that. But it's not looking good for the home team. Well, if it's not looking good for the home team, I'm already all in. I've given this almost 2 years of my life, my son's life, everybody that loves me's life. We've given this thing 2 years. So I didn't wait 2 years to